Welcome to the Hill City Church Podcast. We are a church family located in Springfield, Missouri. You can learn more about us and support our ministries at hillcitysgf.org.
We'll be in Genesis chapter 30, starting in verse 1. When Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she envied her sister. She said to Jacob, "Give me children or I shall die." Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" Then she said, "Here is my servant Bilhah. Go into her, that she may give birth on my behalf, that even I may have children through her." So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife, and Jacob went into her, and Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel said, "God has judged me, and has also heard my voice and given me a son." Therefore, she called his name Dan. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, "With mighty wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister and have prevailed." So she called his name Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had ceased bearing children, she took her servant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Then Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son. And Leah said, "Good fortune has come." So she called his name Gad. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. And Leah said, "Happy am I, for women have called me happy." So she called his name Asher. In the days of wheat harvest, Reuben went out and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "Is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also?" Rachel said, "Then he may lie with you tonight in exchange for your son's mandrakes." When Jacob came from the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, "You must come in to me, for I have hired you with my son's mandrakes." So he laid with her that night. And God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, "God has given me my wages because I gave my servant to my husband." So she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. Then Leah said, "God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will honor me because I have borne him six sons." So she called his name Zebulun. Afterward, she bore a daughter, called her name Dinah. Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. She conceived and bore a son and said, "God has taken away my reproach," and she called his name Joseph, saying, "May the Lord add to me another son." This is God's word. You may be seated. I suppose I can apologize to the teachers of the fourth and fifth graders. You have some questions to answer in there. Now, you were not prepared for that. Good morning, Hill City. My name is Brad, lead teaching pastor here at Hill City. So I had a guilty pleasure in college, okay? Before you get too uncomfortable, just hang on. I'm not going to get too dark. It's not awesome, but I'm going to tell you what it is. So I was addicted to and watched the Jerry Springer Show every day, okay? Now, our church is super young. Some of you don't even know what the Jerry Springer Show is, probably. But in the 90s, it took the United States by storm, and it was just insanity on screen. I don't know what else to tell you. And here's the situations on the Jerry Springer Show. They used to surprise me. I'm 44 years old. They're actually depressingly common. And as I've grown, even in the Lord, like what I realized is the Jerry Springer Show is actually like the human condition. Like the Jerry Springer Show was just a picture of our hearts. And it's pretty gross. Genesis chapter 29 and 30, they actually put the Jerry Springer Show kind of to shame. Like, we just read the Jerry Springer Show. Like, we're going to live in this story. So I want to invite you into the story, because this story is as messed up as it sounded, okay? Ecclesiastes says, "Better is the end of a thing than its beginning." I'm glad the Jerry Springer Show ended, so that I don't have to tell my kids, you can't watch that. But more importantly, like, we're going to see this story, and there's a beginning of something very special here. And man, it was kind of gross, but the ending of that thing is going to be pretty awesome. Better is the end of a thing and beginning. A lot of truths that we can learn today, and I just want to take a few away this morning. I want us to see what can happen when we live in and out of comparison, praise, and passivity. I want us to walk out of here this morning understanding that the consequences of sin are real. And I want, above all of that, for us to walk out of here knowing that there's a grace that is greater than all of our sin. So God, would you open our eyes this morning that we would behold awesome things from your word? Would you work on hearts in this place? It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So if I could summarize the 24 verses that I just read, it would be sibling rivalry at its worst. It started with Rachel envying her sister. She envied her sister. Now, if you've been with us, because we've been in Genesis since like last August, but even if you were just with us last week, we talked about Rachel and Leah, and Rachel was the beautiful one and Leah was not. Well, here we have Rachel envying her sister. This is foreign. This is the one who would have been envied her whole life. Rachel would have been the one that Leah would have looked at and wanted to be like. And now the tables have turned and we see Rachel say, "Give me children or else I'll die." Well, isn't it ironic? And little did she know that that's exactly how she's going to die, in childbirth. Sibling rivalry at its worst. It is a terrible thing to watch sisters fight or brothers and sisters fight. And I want us to see this morning, Hill City, that the Bible would call us, the church family, brothers and sisters. It is a horrible, horrible thing to see brothers and sisters have rivalry. And we actually do this, what we've read in Genesis chapter 30. What do I mean? We do what Rachel did. We look at other people's lives. We determine based off of what they have and what we don't have. And we say, man, that must be satisfaction. If I had that, which I don't have, what they have, I would then be satisfied. And I know I say this all the time, but it's just so real. Like, social media is horrible for this. Like, we get on there and you see a fake world and we're like, if I had that, oh, if my kids had that, oh, if I just had that, there would be satisfaction. And it's just not true. Rachel thought that. Now listen, I'm going to step out of this story and I just need to do some shepherding. So I just want to do some loving shepherding to the people of Hill City, okay? Here's a reality. You probably can't walk around in the atrium before a gathering or after and not run into a pregnant girl in this church, okay? Listen, babies on babies, they keep coming. And we love it and we celebrate it, and I'm going to tell you, keep it up. Like, let's go. And it's, I love it. I love when they come up here and we give them a Jesus story, but I love it. And you should too. But also, in the same church, at the same time, we have a handful of ladies who are hurting because they struggle with infertility. And I just want to caution specifically the ladies and even the husbands of these ladies who maybe are unable to have children. Like, lovingly, if as we see people becoming pregnant and babies being born, like, are you able to celebrate with them? And if you struggle with that, I would just caution you, lovingly tell you, pay attention to that. Pay attention to that. We need to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. We weep with those who are weeping. What we don't want to do is get into comparison and rivalry that will not end well for anyone. So back to this comparison and rivalry. So Jesus addressed this with his disciples. And I want to continue. Might we hear from Jesus this morning on this? See, Peter was just told, like, hey, here's how your life is going to go. And specifically, he was actually like, this is actually how your life is going to end. So what does Peter do? He does what Peter does. He looks over and he sees John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And Peter's like, well, what about him? Yeah, you just told me that. What about him? And look what Jesus says to him. So let's hear the words of our King this morning. He says to Peter, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. So again, I want to stay gentle and loving, okay? For some of you, you might need to hear, listen. So if I give her 4 more babies and you none, what is that to you? You follow me. Listen, hear the kindness of Jesus. Listen, I love you. I'm good. Do you believe God is good? Do you believe he's in control? Just follow him. Okay, now listen to me. All of us have our thing. I'm talking to ladies and babies. Listen to me. All of us have our thing. And we look at it and we're like, oh, if I had that, there's some satisfaction in that. Okay, if I could, 80 acres. If I could just go get 80 acres. That's me. That's one good. If I had that, then I would be satisfied. All of us have our thing. And the Lord this morning is saying, listen, just trust me. Follow me. Here it just happens to be babies, and babies and their daddy. It's a wax story you remember from last week. And what we see is intense competitiveness and animosity between sisters. It will ensue. See, Rachel is consumed with envy. And you know what she did? Exactly what the matriarch of the family did when she couldn't have children. Do you remember Sarah, right? She couldn't have children. What does she do? She goes and gets her servant, right? And it's like she tries to give Abraham a baby that way. That did not go well. What is it that Rachel does? She takes it into her own hands. She acts in desperation. She doesn't go to the Lord. Do you see what envy will do to us? Envy will cause us to take it into our own hands. Envy will cause us to act in desperation. And listen, when does envy come in? It's when we stop believing that God is good. We stop believing that he's in control, that he's got this. I know if someone's envious, they have ceased to believe that. And here is envious Rachel. She wanted children with Jacob so badly. What'd she do? Bilhah, my servant. She gives her servant Bilhah, hey, Jacob, make a baby with her. Jacob's like, all right. Enter baby Dan. Baby Dan, everybody. Well, you'll see a theme in this story. It's like where there was one, there always seemed to be two. So Jacob didn't stop there. Rachel has him do it again with Bilhah. And this time we see Naphtali. Now, verse 8 says something. Hear what verse 8 says. This is after Bilhah, Rachel's servant, has a second son. And Rachel said, with mighty wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. Man, that's a dark sentence. You gave your servant to your husband, and you're saying that was a wrestling match with your sister and that you prevailed? That's not a W, honey. That's dark. Gets darker when Leah saw that she had ceased bearing children. This is verse 9. She took her servant, Zilpah. Just imagine Jacob. Bilhah, Zilpah, right? Like, wait, Bilhah. He gave her to Jacob as a wife. Then Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son, and Leah said, good fortune has come. So she called his name Gad. Baby Gad, everybody. Three baby mamas right now. They're not done. Where there was one, there was two. So he goes into Zilpah again, and Jacob had a second son, and Leah said, happy am I, for women have called me happy. So she called his name Asher. What really happened here? Are you seeing this Jerry Springer thing play out? Like Jacob sitting in a chair, a little passive, skinny Jacob. Jerry, they keep coming to me wanting babies. Now, if you ever watch Jerry Springer, that makes perfect sense to you. What am I supposed to do? Sorry. I swear to you, there was somebody from my hometown on Jerry Springer. I swear. Okay? It was the pride of my life when I was in college. We made it. What happened here? Listen, can you just imagine? Can we just play? Let's just do a role play. This isn't in the Bible, but man, these sisters did not like each other. And like I've seen women kind of like get at each other. It can get nasty. Actually, it starts in middle school, I learned. Whoa. Middle school girls, I'm telling you right now. It's I got daughters. Like, it's tough down there. I'm serious. But imagine this. Like, Leah, she's lived her whole life in the shadow of Rachel. They end up married to the same man. And here Leah, the ugly one, gives Jacob four sons. Rachel, goose egg. Leah had lived in the shadow her whole life. Can you imagine Rachel just around that? Hey, Leah, hey, can you just help me a little bit more? Get dinner ready, please? Leah, what? Sorry, I can't hear you. My four sons are over here playing. Just rubbing it in. Rachel, well, I've given him sons too. No, you haven't. Leah said, no, Bilhah gave him sons. Good try, though, sister. You didn't. Scoreboard, scoreboard, scoreboard. Rachel. Hey, ugly, he wishes that I would have given him four sons instead of you. Leah. What? Sorry, baby Judah's yelling, mommy, I can't hear that. What was that? And just, can you just imagine the snipping? Like, they did not like each other. But what really happened here? Rachel was consumed with envy. And Leah, what did she do? This is where we got to pay attention. She stopped her praise. Now, you got to go back to last week with me, right? She's trying to gain her husband's love. Baby, didn't happen. Baby, didn't happen. Baby, didn't happen. And the fourth baby, she says, this time, I will praise the Lord. Oh, her heart got to where the Lord wanted it. This time, I will praise the Lord. But listen, somewhere between that verse and then where we are today, Leah stopped her praise. She engages in this sibling rivalry. She gives her servant to Jacob. He has two babies, baby Gad, baby Asher. Something I should probably point out. Let's keep going. Because we get into a weird story. I'll point out in a minute. So, the mandrakes. This is comical. Okay? And some of you guys are like, yeah, Harry Potter, mandrakes, this is the greatest sermon I've ever heard in my life. It's not the same, but kind of. So this is where, like, Jerry Springer just keeps coming back to my head, because mandrakes, well, what are they, first of all? They're this perennial herbaceous plant, right? And at this time, they believed they were an aphrodisiac. They were believed to help with fertility. They didn't. It's what they believed. So here you have son, Reuben. He finds some of these, and he picks them, and he takes them to his mother. I think that's weird, but whatever. We don't have time to get into that. But he takes this plant to his mother. Rachel sees it. This is hilarious. I've been laughing all week at this. She's like, give me your son's mandrakes. Right? Verse 15, but she said to her, this is Leah. See, this is how I know these girls didn't like each other. Is it a small matter that you've taken away my husband? Would you take away also my son's mandrakes? I can't. Oh. Jerry, she took my man. She wanted my oranges too. I mean, I don't know. It's like bizarre. And commentaries, like the writer of this, the writer was trying to be a little comical here. And I'm telling you, I'm just laughing all week at this. But it's actually no laughing matter. Look what Rachel says. She says, yeah, give me some of those then he may lie with you tonight in exchange for your son's mandrakes. Give me some of those mandrakes, I'll have him sleep with you. Man, that's some control, isn't it? So listen, let's call this what it is. Rachel pimps out her own husband to his other wife for some mandrakes. What happens? Same thing keeps happening with Jacob, made another baby. Leah has another baby. This is where we see Issachar. Again, what just happens in twos. Leah conceives again. And then look at this. Look at this in verse 20. This is now her sixth son. Then Leah said, God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will honor me because I have borne him six sons. So she called his name Zebulun. Okay, if you've been with us, this is going to make sense. Leah started having babies. What is it that she wanted from her husband? Love. She wanted her husband to love her. She has now lowered her standards to just some respect. Just acknowledge that I am here living with you. You know how that happens? See, when praising the Lord does not remain the number one priority of your life, you will lower your standards in all area of life. You will lower your standards in your marriage. You're going to lower your standards at the workplace. You're going to lower your standards in your playtime. You're going to lower your standards in your dead time. Praising the Lord was no longer Leah's priority. She lowered her standards. The drama continues. Leah throws in another daughter, or just a daughter, Dinah. Now, she's going to come in later in Genesis, and it's going to get dark and ugly, worse than any Jerry Springer show you could ever imagine. And then we see in verse 22 and 23, then God remembered Rachel. And God listened to her and opened her womb. She conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, saying, may the Lord add to me another son. God remembered Rachel. Now, this is similar. You guys remember when we were with Noah and God said, God remembered Noah. It's not that God forgot Rachel. This is telling us that God, in his time, allowed Rachel to conceive. That's to bring to our attention right here, this. It wasn't the mandrakes. This is way far removed from the mandrakes. Mandrakes don't do it. God is the one who's in control. Now, let's do a recap, because this is really important. We have a lot of people in our church, and they're new to Scripture. They're new to the faith. They're new to the Bible. And what we just went through, like, this is huge as a building block to understanding your Bible. So what we need to do, let's just do a kid count so we don't lose track of them at Silver Dollar City, okay? Because there's a lot of them. So we have Leah, who had Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. And then Bilhah, Rachel's servant, she had Dan and Naphtali. And then Zilpah, Leah's servant, had Gad and Asher. Leah comes back in. She wasn't done. She has Issachar and Zebulun. Throw in the daughter, Dinah. And then Rachel had a son, Joseph. Now, that's 11 sons and one daughter. There's going to be a 12th son. His name is going to be Benjamin. And it's here in labor where Rachel will die giving birth to Benjamin. Why does this matter? Because, see, we're going to get to it, but Jacob's name is going to be changed to Israel, and you will hear a phrase as you study your Bibles, the children of Israel. It could easily just be said the children of Jacob. They're going to become 12 tribes of Israel. This is where the great nation is going to be born. So as you read later on in your Bible about the priesthood, right? They are going to come from the son Levi, or the tribe of Levi. So you open your Bibles and you see Leviticus or Leviticus, right? That's the tribe of Levi where the priesthood is. Paul, who writes most of the letters in the New Testament, he came from the tribe of Benjamin, right? And then, of course, we talked last week, it is Jesus, our King, who comes from the tribe of Judah. These are very important building blocks. But listen, let's get back to this passage, because the main character seems to have gone dark. Jacob, he's eerily silent in this passage. He's active, but he's silent. Seems to be rather enjoying the baby-making escapades. But might we pay attention to the pathetic level of passivity in leading his family? Like, he's letting this happen. He's watching this happen in his house, under his roof, and he's doing nothing about it. Never once do we see Jacob go to the Lord and see what God thought about this. Like, he could have went, hey, God, I know what you promised Grandpa, right? And I know what you promised Dad. Is this how you were thinking, like, with her? And Lord, what would you like me to do here? Jacob doesn't do this. He's like, sleep with her. Okay, sleep with her. You got it. Like, this is Jacob. And this leads to our second point. And that is that the consequences of sin are very real. You have 12 sons and a daughter. How do you think these sons got along? Like one big happy family sitting around a table? Listen, this is family dysfunction at a level that most of us will never know. See, the sibling rivalry did not stop with the mothers. The sons, they were eaten up with sibling rivalry. They're going to do the unthinkable. We'll get into the life of Joseph, fall 2024, be here. We'll see how this plays out. You know what I want us to see, I hope we see, you know, in this story, is that sometimes God gives us what we want in order to teach us what we need. And he does that because he's an awesome dad, right? Dads have to do this. But it actually gets a little bit darker than that, because sometimes God gives us what we want because we refuse what we need. I'm going to say it again. Sometimes God will give you what you want because you refuse what you need. And we see this in this story. Like, Jacob's mom, Rebecca, she got what she wanted, right? She had this son, and it was her favorite son, and she wanted his loyalty and love to a fault, and she got that. She wanted this favorite son of hers to get the blessing, so she steals it, and she got that for her son. But then her son had to run for his life from his brother. And did you know that Jacob's mom never saw him ever again in his life? She died never seeing her favorite son again. She got what she wanted. But there are always consequences to sin. Rachel got what she wanted. A son. Immediately after she had that son, she's like, may the Lord give me another son. And it costs her her life. Jacob got what he wanted. He got Rachel. It cost him 20 years of his life slaving for his uncle Laban for nothing. His family ended up being a wreck. He actually lost the wife that he loved in childbirth, Rachel. Oh, we haven't seen this yet, but listen, he is going to be deceived by his own sons badly. He will lose his favorite son, Joseph. He will go over 20 years thinking his favorite son, Joseph, is dead. Can you imagine, parents? To him, Joseph was dead. 20 years without his son. Just a life of grief. And I only point that out because we have to understand, Hill City, there are always, eventually, consequences for our sin. I'll go back to last week. You can't outrun them. You can't outsmart them. You can't tame them. As you hear this story, maybe somehow it's reminding you of your family. And you might conclude, whether it's from this story or maybe it's from your family, and you're thinking, man, could anything good come from this? And then this would take us to our third and final point. Oh yeah, why? How could anything good come from this? Because of the greatest news that you'll ever hear in your life. There is a grace that is greater than all of our sin. Guys, the Bible is not a book of sweet little biographies. Have we learned that by now, just out of Genesis? The Bible isn't even just a book merely with truth in it. The Bible is truth. It is truth. All of this is truth. And we look at this. Jacob's life is a tragedy. Jacob's life is a mess. I hope, Hill City, that we all will look at Jacob and we can feel a sense of sadness for Jacob. And actually, furthermore, I actually hope that all of us can look at Jacob and have the courage to identify with Jacob. We must identify with Jacob. Because what happened in Genesis just keeps happening. Still today, 2024. But the greatest news you'll ever hear in your life is this. Is when the Lord told us, I, the Lord, do not change. We read in the Bible that our King is actually the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's really good news. Why is it good news? Because in this story, God actually worked in the midst of failure, in Jacob's failure, in Leah's failure, in Rachel's failure. God worked in the midst of that failure in order to save. You know what that's called? It's called grace. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God still works in the midst of failure, my failure and your failure, in order to save. So I'm going to say it again. These 12 men, these 12 baby boys that were born, they're going to grow up to be men. They were born in dysfunction. This is messed up. They're all, listen, four women, one father that never works out. Well, but these men will grow up to have families. These families will turn into tribes. And out of these tribes, we will see the prophets that we read in the Bible. We're going to see the priests that we read in the Bible. We're going to see the kings that we read of in the Bible. Out of these tribes, and out of one of these tribes, will come the King of Kings, a Savior. Because Jacob's failure demands a need for a Savior. The lives of Jacob, Leah, Rachel, they should point us to Jesus. Why? Because my failures demand the need of a Savior. I am just as desperate and wicked as Jacob. Full stop. Gets worse. I am just as envious and desperate as Rachel. It gets worse. Many seasons in my life, I have stopped praising the Lord, just like Leah. I need a Savior. And somehow Jacob will end up exceedingly blessed. What? Not because how great and grand and awesome Jacob is, but because God is faithful. Jacob ended up exceedingly blessed. You know what? I am exceedingly blessed. Not because I'm awesome. Because Jesus is. Listen, you might be visiting here. We say this a lot. We mean it wholeheartedly. Nobody here is awesome. If you're visiting, welcome to Hill City. Nobody here is awesome. You got to go to another church for that. Now, Jesus is, so we just preach him like crazy around here. If you're serving communion, I'm going to have you head back. Prepare the table. Hey, I just wonder if any of you might like look at your family of origin and think, yeah, that's kind of messed up. That's some dysfunction. Maybe someone's in here and you're actually like looking at the family you are leading and you're like, oh, I'm a leader of a family of dysfunction. Yeah, Jacob was too. And his name's actually written in Hebrews in what's called the Hall of Faith. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. Do you see how the better is the end of a thing than its beginning? It's not about how Jacob started. It's about how he finished. It's not about how these 12 sons came to be. It's about what they ended up being. In Revelation 21:12, it talks about the city, this great city. It said it had a great high wall with 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels. And on the gates, the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. They were inscribed. And yours can be too. No sin is stronger than his blood. It doesn't matter the family that you came from. It actually doesn't matter the family you're leading right now. What matters is if you grab hold of Jesus. So I'm going to end with three questions. Would you stand with me? Where is your praise? This time I will praise the Lord. Where is your praise? Is Jesus your Lord? Is Jesus your Lord? You need to know this morning that he works in the midst of your failures too, just like he did Jacob. There is a grace that's greater than all our sin. Have you received his grace this morning? God, we love you. And we are messed up people in need of grace. Thank you for giving it to us. Thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.